God, open the doors of our hearts. Knock, and we will answer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In this morning's gospel, the disciples ask Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." The disciples have witnessed Jesus' power to heal the lame, to teach crowds, to exorcise demons, showing that a better world was not just possible, but is indeed on her way. They have seen how Jesus' ministry, his very identity, is shaped by prayer. Jesus had been praying at his baptism when the heavens opened. Jesus was praying when he asked the disciples who the people thought he was. He was praying when his glory was revealed in the transfiguration, as the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And later, Jesus would pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." His disciples knew how deeply prayer grounded Jesus, how it brought him closer to God and to himself. Jesus' prayer life was a catalyst for the disciples' life of prayer. They wanted to know, how should we pray? And Jesus willingly responds, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name.'" And thus begins the prayer that rests on our lips and on our hearts, and indeed has rested in the lips and on the hearts of people over the centuries, the prayer we now call the Lord's Prayer, a precious prayer, an intimate prayer, a prayer that reminds us who we are. When I worked on the memory unit of a continuing care residency in Potomac, Maryland a few years ago, I would say the words, "Our Father who art in heaven." And the memory of residents would awaken as they finished the prayer with me by heart. People could say the Lord's Prayer but not recall their names. But as they recited that prayer, they indeed were remembering themselves. This prayer lives in our bones. "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread." At the heart of this prayer is bread. "Give us each day our daily bread," Jesus teaches us to ask. Give us the bread that we need to survive today. And indeed, God is the ground of our being and the wellspring of life itself. The Greek word that we translate daily is a quizzical word. Translators aren't quite sure what to do with it, because it is the first time the word has ever appeared in Greek literature, is in the Gospels. So we look at the context for meaning. This prayer yearns that God's name be known in the world, "Hallowed be thy name." And Matthew's version anticipates the future, "Thy kingdom come." And this suggests a desire for more than just enough bread for today, but the promise of sufficient bread for tomorrow as well, the bread of justice, the bread that will unite all people, the bread of God's kingdom, a better world, a world that is on her way. As the disciples hear Jesus pray these words, they would have heard echoes of the daily bread, the manna from heaven that sustained the Israelites each day for 40 days as they wandered the desert, or for 40 years. They would have remembered the 5 loaves and fishes that multiplied to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, only weeks earlier in Galilee. And a few weeks later, the words "daily bread" would take on deeper meaning as they shared their last meal with their Savior when he said, "This is my body given for you." After his death, these words "daily bread" would take on even richer meaning as they would gather around a meal and remember Jesus, the bread itself, who had walked among them, taught them, and gave signs of God's kingdom that had already come and was still coming. Jesus, God incarnate, who promised a new banquet, revealed a better world that was on her way. They would pray, "Father, hallowed be thy name. Give us today our daily bread. And they would break bread together, sharing in the promised banquet, a better world, a time when God's name would indeed be hallowed. So it is appropriate that we repeat the Lord's Prayer Sunday after Sunday, the summation of all of our attempts at prayer, as our last act of thanksgiving before sharing bread here at God's table. The words, "give us our daily bread," reminds me of a time when I did not share in receiving bread at God's table. You see, I was not baptized until I was 7 years old. And as was common practice at the time, only those baptized were welcome to receive communion. I did come to the altar rail each week with my family, my arms crossed over my chest to receive a blessing, and those are precious memories. But I wanted more. I knew myself to be a full member of this community and wanted to have a bit of this bread, a taste of Jesus. And this yearning grew and grew, and finally I announced to my parents, I want some Jesus too. I want to be baptized. And although they had left the decision to me, this was just what my parents had hoped. They wanted me to choose to join the community, to make a commitment to Jesus. And oh, how I remember the taste of sweet bread that very first communion, the day that I said, I will with God's help, the day that John Cater, the priest, poured water over my head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like I will do next week for three children who will be baptized here at St. Patrick's. I had known the sweetness of warm homemade bread that my mother made every week, dough set in a bowl on the windowsill that rose by the warmth of the sunlight and later baked in the oven. This bread, though, that I received at the altar rail for the first time, was sweeter than any bread I had ever tasted. The bread that we will share today is just like the bread we share around our dining room tables. Yet it is not a reproduction of bread at our home, nor is it the bread at the Last Supper. It is more. It is the daily manna sent by God into the wilderness, the five loaves that fed 5,000, the bread broken at the Last Supper, and the bread shared in early Christian worship. It is the bread clutched by hands of the homeless on our streets and by children at our borders. And the bread at the great banquet when justice will prevail. It is all of these and more. It is the body of Christ made present to us. Just a little bread, both to satisfy and to leave us hungry for the kingdom that is on the way. Jesus continues his teaching about how to pray with a parable about bread needed at midnight. An unexpected guest arrives in a neighborhood needs fresh bread. Going to his friend's house, he asks for bread. It's nighttime, my family is asleep, the neighbor calls out. Yet he does open the door and gives the needed bread. When we receive this bread, we open our own hearts, just as the neighbor opened the door to provide bread at midnight. We open our hearts to the unexpected, to something wholly other. Opening the door of our hearts to eat this bread, we act with vulnerability and humility. How else could we approach this bread into which the Holy Spirit has breathed mystery too large to be contained? We eat this bread because we are called to be Christ's hands and feet in the world, to join in God in ushering the kingdom. Another world is possible. Don't you hear her coming? We come with humility, because in eating this bread, we will enter the mystery of God, and that mystery will be loosed among us. This bread, this daily bread, claims our lives. Augustine famously said, "It is the mystery, meaning you, that has been placed on this table." So be a member of the body to make that amen true. Opening the door of our hearts to eating this bread, we act courageously. It is courageous because this bread will grab you with its demand that we share the dangerous identity of a subversive and suffering Christ. Eating the bread is a radical act of opening ourselves to be taken into a life of self-outpouring love, into a world that rejects the love of Jesus. Eating this bread, we lean into the coming kingdom and commit ourselves to being bread ourselves for the world. As a 7-year-old receiving communion for the first time, I was receiving my daily bread, but I was receiving much more, and we will receive much more. We will receive the bread needed today and the bread of tomorrow. We will share in the great banquet. Our eyes have been opened to see God's kingdom coming, just as we are fed to build that better world. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. We say these words because in the words of Arundhati Roy, author of God of Small Things, and in the tune of by Anna Hernandez. Another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. She is on her way. Amen.